I begin by wishing to those among you who are fathers a happy Father's Day, a term by itself which assumes a relationship. And we do this on Trinity Sunday, the day on which the church brings to the fore the triune nature of God. God is both one and three, all at the same time. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are left to wonder, what does this mean in a practical sense? So let's just cut to the chase. God lives in relationship. The Father is in relationship with the Son, who is in relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is in relationship with the Father, and so on. Each person of the Trinity gives theirself to each other in love. And we are invited into this relationship. God is calling us to something deeper, more meaningful, through the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who took on human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, who breaks down barriers to unite humanity with the divine. And if you ever get somewhat confused by this theological language which I've just put forward, please don't feel badly, because there's a lot that we have to wrap our minds around. But without just dismissing our minds when we consider the Trinity, I invite you to ask yourself, how is your heart position towards God, remembering that each person of the Trinity is positioned towards the others in love? What I sometimes notice in my own life when I consider relationships is how defensive and protective I can be. Our culture lies to us in both subtle and overt forms, tempting us to think that we need to defend what is our own. We need to defend what is our own because there is not enough to go around. That's what we're told. We adopt this mindset of scarcity. And if I buy into this notion of scarcity, that there's not enough in this life that God has created for us, whether it is money, food, jobs, land, time, education, or whatever, then I toil and spin to make sure I get what I think belongs rightly to me. And my concern for the other, whoever the other may be, well, I suppress that. I trick myself into believing that I can go it alone. That, after all, is the American dream, to make it on your own. And we call it individuality, but it really is individualism. And it creates this culture in which we make absolutely no room for community. And therein lies the problem. The God who creates, redeems, and sustains all there is lives in community. The God who forms humanity out of the basic elements of the earth creates us for community. Without community, we experience scarcity. With community, we experience this abundant life that Jesus speaks of. And paradoxically, it is only in a Christ-centered community where we can learn and live into our God-given individuality. As someone who comes before you just about every week to talk about what it means to live into the life of Christ Jesus, I try not to share too many stories about my part-time work as a hospital chaplain, but I do want to say this. And it's something that I've experienced in settings other than hospitals. There are times when I encounter people who are grieving the death of a loved one, and these surviving family members have no faith community to support them. Beyond that, they have no faith to help them cope with the emotions that they're feeling, maybe and oftentimes for the first time. To a person, they are terrified about what has become of their loved one in death. And I do my best to meet these people where they are and share with them as much as I can what sustains me each and every day, what prompts me to get out of bed instead of lie there all day. And only rarely, if ever, does my path cross with these people later on to the degree that I can find out how their lives progress after such a devastating transition. So you hear me talking about this a lot, this difference between playing church and actually being the church. This is what I'm driving at when I share this story. I love you, and this is why I'm going to be bold with you here and candid. We are not here for the pageantry. We are not here for a choir concert on most Sundays of the year. We are not here to check off the religious duty box, trying to make sure in a superstitious way that we will get into heaven after we die. This has absolutely nothing to do with superstition. Church attendance is not a matter of us keeping our end of the bargain in order to put God in our debt. Because quite frankly, church attendance, if we look at it only from an administrative perspective, that is a secondary issue at best. The primary issue, the real reason we are here, is to cultivate and nourish a relationship with the God we know in Jesus Christ, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who already lives in relationship, who wants us in a personal relationship. If you ever question why you should get up on a Sunday morning to sing, to pray, to listen to stories from long ago about how people encounter God over the course of history, oh, what does the Bible have to say to me in 2019? If you wonder why you kneel on a cushion at a rail to receive Holy Communion, to be in community, to be the church, the body of Christ, consider those. Consider those persons who try to go it alone in this life. I've seen it, and I know you've seen it too. That is a lonely road. And yes, there are times when a church community can be too much. And like it says in the airline commercial, we want to get away. Especially when a church community argues mindlessly about things that have absolutely no bearing on a relationship with God. But when it comes to the everyday purpose of being the church, when it comes to who God is creating us to be in Christ, we gather together to walk with each other when life doesn't go the way we want it to. We gather together to be strong in our faith when others around us are weak. Or we gather so that others around us can be strong when we are weak. We gather together to provide shoulders to cry on for one another. Food to those whose illness or grief leaves them little or no energy to care for themselves. We gather together to provide a safe place for children, which should be a novel concept in the 21st century, but apparently it is not. We gather together to provide a refuge for the most vulnerable in our society, those whom our culture often looks upon as less than human and thus expendable. We gather together to rejoice in the transitions of this life, births, baptisms, confirmations, weddings, graduations. And yes, we are inheritors of a faith that reminds us and demands of us that we celebrate and trust in God's grace even in the face of death. When we gather together, when we as individuals position ourselves towards God and one another in love, we experience abundance. We realize our identity as a community created, redeemed, and sustained by God, who is in relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.